For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to number one biggest podcast.
Number one. Host,
Daddy McDuke. Yeah. I'm joined as always by
Electric.
Dr. Hoji, the electric smoji.
Yeah.
And John
Art Sinatra.
Sheeran. He said he's not a Sinatra. We'll call him the Art Garfunkel.
Yeah. Velvet vocals.
Yes.
Matches the hair more, actually. That makes sense.
Yeah. John. So, what do you think about topic number one, introduction? Because, John, I don't know if you know, but you and all of your friends and all of your family, and everybody was asking you, where can I watch John Sheeran on TV? Well, you can watch him on Brinks TV, Brinks.tv. And right. If you go there, they can enter into contest. They can guess, you know, they can answer trivia questions about John Sheeran, where he grew up, what his favorite foods are. And win $1 billion. Every week, there's $1 billion giveaway. Yes.
Wow. A lot of money.
A lot of great content. There are, Courtney, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are, I think there are reruns of the Senate hearings about fraudulent elections.
And wait. I don't think
also,
this.
You I don't think that happened. Every Charles in Charge episode. And I've been catching.
Okay, now that was a good show.
It was a great show. Yeah. And I never appreciated the brilliance of Scott Baio until recently.
Yeah. And Matlock. Is there Matlock? Everybody loves Matlock.
Yeah, there's Matlock. And look, Ray Lewis has a talk show. It is a cross between the Rosie O'Donnell show and a sports center. So it's like it's a little comedy, it's a little crying, and it's a little sports.
That sounds like what we have here. I cry after every show.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do cry when I look at the ratings and the financials.
I cry when I look at my paycheck, honestly.
Right.
So who's going to send the cease and desist to Ray Lewis then for stealing our content? It's not going to be me.
We can have him on our show and that will make up for it. No. Ray, just go ahead, come on. But yeah, you can, there's a live stream 24/7. You can watch our show 24 hours a day. That is amazing. I don't know, Courtney. I don't know, like, who came up with that idea, but it's a great idea. And you can also see there's a Steelers and the Seahawks and a Mikey, my friend, podcast and all these different podcasts. I like Mikey and the Ray Lewis show. And then you can go to the app and you can watch them when you like. So there you go. There's that. Now, today we have a very special guest. a guy who came on their show last year when the Bengals were struggling.
Lots of charisma.
And he really helped us get out of that kind of mental state. And
it was like a self-help session, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. I mean, I felt a lot better. It was therapeutic. And he's back. Now, though, I think he sees us more as equals and rivals. And so we're going to talk about Bengals and the Ravens with Mr. Jack Settleman of snapbacksports.co. And by the
welcome.
Way, Jack, thank you for coming on the show.
Welcome
thank
back,
you for
Jack.
Having me. Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
No. Jack, we are honored.
We are honored and also are his 1 billion followers on Snapchat. So you know, Jack has a crazy following on Snapchat. You think 1 billion? Wait a second. Okay. 400 million, whatever, in America. Okay. Maybe a few in Europe, fine.
It's like that's 1/6 of the world population almost.
Yeah, where are they coming from? Why?
Well, I would guess India. India's.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Jack he resonates. His charm resonates with everybody, every culture. So, Jack, thank you for coming on the show. And what are you thinking about week 7? What are you thinking about most?
Are you shaking in your boots?
I am. I am shaking in my boots. Last time I came on here, it was week something. And I said, the Bengals are dangerous. They're sneaky. Joe's in his rookie year. I think we beat you like 30 something to nothing. I don't even think you guys scored. I was quite surprised because the Bengals always play the Ravens tight. I know you don't have AJ Green anymore. But now, like you said, maybe the Ravens and Bengals are equals.
Yeah. I mean, look. We're close in the standings. We've both played a lot of close games. The Ravens, they're not the same old Ravens. They've given up 25 points in 3 games, but they have a quarterback now who can manage that and can bring them back at any moment. Something they haven't had.
Well, they're virtually unstoppable. I mean, let's really cut the potatoes here. I mean, the Ravens are virtually an unstoppable team. Mm-hmm. And the one team that beat them, you know, they barely did so in overtime, right? Am I right?
The Raiders.
And the Raiders really snuck that win in overtime.
Well, the Ravens came very close a number of times to losing. So I mean,
they really are a runaway train. They really are the big. This is the biggest game of the year for us, I think. This is going to be the tough one.
For sure. Division game. John, what do you think? What are you looking forward to?
It's weird how this matchup has evolved because it used to just be teams running the ball and playing defense, like the stereotypical classic AFC North matchup. But now you look at what these teams were really good at in the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's throwing the ball. It's respecting Lamar Jackson as a passer and what he can do with his weapons. But also the Bengals passing offense is catching up with the rest of the league, and both defenses are still dangerous and can defend the pass really well. So it's kind of deviated away from the classic tropes of what this game used to be about. And now it's about watching these two quarterbacks go to town, because this is probably the best quarterback matchup we will have in week 7.
Yeah.
Let's be frank here. Talk about the quarterback matchup. The frankness is the Bengals have been good. They've been great, but they've been inconsistent on offense. Yeah. The defense has been fine. I actually think our defense was the Ravens in mind. We the defense made to adapt to a run game and a QB on the run. It's almost as if Lou Anatolia was thinking about that option. But
we have to move fast because
I don't know if Joe Burrow and the gang can make it happen against this Ravens defense.
We're going to talk about that.
I have my doubts.
That is the topic after. But we have to move fast because Jack has to leave in 10 minutes.
Move fast.
Jack,
move.
There are 1 billion people all across the world who are like, where is Jack?
Where's Jack?
I haven't heard from him in
I need Jack.
Minutes. Yeah. I need a snap. I need a chat. I need a snap back. I need something snappy. I need it.
And they're addicted to
holding,
you.
Yeah. So let us go to Lamar Jackson. And when I look at Lamar Jackson, here's the thing.
No. So Logan I do not agree with that. An RB that also plays QB. Who said that?
Well, Logan Wilson said that, but he immediately said, that's not what I meant. I meant he's so good as a running back that he can also play quarterback, but he's not just a running back. He's also a quarterback, but mostly a running back and a little bit quarterback.
No.
But here's the thing.
Jack, are you going to put up with that? No, Jack. You do not have to put up with that. Jack, you have a billion followers on Snapchat.
Jack, listen.
Jack.
I think this is nonsense to say this whole discussion, calling him a running back.
That's what you do, Daddy. That's what he does. This is called passive aggressive behavior.
No, it's not.
He throws out an insult and he says, I didn't say it, someone else said.
Listen, Jack. Jack, can you please listen?
Jack.
Can you intervene here? This is couples therapy this time. Last time we were suffering from depression. Now we need Jack to kind of help us get along. But look, Jack, this whole Lamar Jackson's a running back thing, I always thought it was ridiculous. He's built way more like a receiver. I mean, so like I look at him and his speed and he's very slim. Like if he's going to play another position, it should be a receiver.
You're right.
But they say running back because his moves are Michael Vick-esque. I mean, they are so slick and maybe even better. I mean, here's the thing. John, I want you to chime in. But I watch.
We have a QB coach in the room.
Yeah. Courtney?
No, me.
Listen, when I watch Lamar Jackson, I look and he's not making difficult throws. He's throwing into usually they're pretty big windows. But he is creating those windows because he has 3 seconds or more back there. And the defense has to be on its seat, ready for him to go to the left or to the right. They don't know what to do. They can't just rush the passer. So you have these guys sitting in these zones, and eventually they're going to have these big open spaces. So he's not a Mahomes. Yes, he's not a Rodgers. Yes, he's not this guy who's going to make the wow throw. He's going to thread the needle that often or whatever. But he is becoming a very, very efficient passer because he knows how to manage, and it's great coaching too, but he knows how to manage, use his abilities to make the easy throws.
And now, what about Jack?
Yeah, Jack, go ahead.
I thought that was fantastic analysis, to be honest. I want to give you credit because a lot of people don't understand what being a runner just does to the defense. And we saw it last night when Ryan Tannehill kept the ball and ESPN is like, oh my God, see what the threat of having a running quarterback. And it's like every week for the Ravens and their fans, they understand that, like you said, he's thrown into a lot of open windows because the threat that he can take off and run 30 yards and make two men miss on you. And you always have to be guarding all six players instead of five guys when you don't have that threat of a running quarterback. He's also improved though in situations where, are you okay over there, Dadia?
Yes, I'm fine, yes.
He's also improved in situations that aren't true play action or just run ops, right? He fell behind to the Chiefs. They went to a passing offense where they cashed in the touchdowns with the run, but the defense was kind of sitting back. And really, the Colts game's got to be his most impressive performance as a passer in his career, where they were down big in the fourth quarter. The Colts defense were rushing four, rushing three, dropping 7 and 8, and he picked them apart in the zone, in the man. It's been awesome to watch. And really, I think, he's finally got talent at the wide receiver position. You see Mahomes has Hill and Kelsey, Rodgers has Adams, Tom Brady has 3 all-pro receivers. You got Josh Allen once he added Stephon Diggs. And now Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews aren't of those caliber, but at least having those guys, Watkins experience, Bateman back off injury, the Ravens passing offense is way more dangerous than it's ever been, which is truthfully terrifying for the rest of the league because they're already the best running offense in the league.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that you're right. He does have the playmakers, but also when I look at a guy like Lamar Jackson and I compare him to a Michael Vick, okay. And can you hear me?
I can hear you
just fine. We can loud and clear.
Okay. My screen went black for a second. Yeah.
No, it's okay.
So, yeah. When I look at a Lamar Jackson and I compare him to Michael Vick, who really didn't hit his stride as a passer until what, 2010, after and I think part of the reason is some of these guys, they take or let's say Randall Cunningham, he had his best year later in his career. I think because these guys who are so athletic and talented, they kind of don't need, I don't know, it takes them a little bit of time to really settle down and work on their ability as a passer. And I think that it's happening a lot faster with Lamar Jackson because of the expectations of the team, because of the great franchise, because of the great coaching, and because he's had these incredible seasons and then these kind of post-seasons that are not so great. And so I think there's more of an emphasis and more of a dedication there. So
one of the biggest, I guess, frustration amongst Ravens fans is Lamar's unwillingness to run. He's taken a lot of time in the pocket this season when in years past, he would just scramble for a 6-yard gain. And I think that's a pro and a con. You know, come playoff time, you would think he's going to put his body on the line and he'll always be making that right decision. Or it might just be another development in his game, which he now needs to figure out. Okay, I can make these throws. I can make these runs. When do I pull off these different plays? That's kind of going to be the next level. If he figures that out, the right time to go and the right time to sit, then it's pretty much over for everyone.
He does have a Russell Wilson-esque, you know, instinctive kind of nature in terms of not taking hits.
Yeah.
Like I see him run and he knows exactly when to contort his body.
It's crazy.
When to avoid hits, just like Russell Wilson. Very impressive. Let us go to put it on the blitz, unless John wants to talk about Lamar Jackson.
There's nothing more to say about Jackson. I think there will always be people who say that he will never reach a point where he's as accurate as the top quarterbacks, and I still don't think that's ever going to matter because Jack is exactly right.
It makes a
difference when you play true 11-on-11 defense because you'll always have to have at least one extra defender to make sure that, okay, Lamar is dropping back to pass, but he is a threat to make a big play just by himself, and no other team knows this more than the Bengals because he has put the Bengals on highlight reels for the past 2 years, and no one should respect him more for his multi-threat ability than the Cincinnati Bengals defense.
Yeah.
In fact, I will merely add that the Ravens are proof that football is a game where it really doesn't matter how you get the ball downfield as long as you do. We're stuck on this model of the classic QB set hook, he stands back and throws the ball, but there's other models. As long as you get the ball downfield, no one cares how it happens.
No one wants a pocket passer anymore. Like Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Rodgers, Allen, they're all, I mean, you get Kirk Cousins, he's having a fantastic year, and no one wants to talk about him because he's stuck in the pocket and he can't make plays and has to take sacks. So,
I think that Lamar is a different level of not being a pocket passer than those other guys.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I think they can move, but his
Lamar's the best runner of the football in the entire league, and he's not even running back.
Exactly. I mean, but let's talk about putting on the blitz because, look, we don't really have a chance of shutting down Lamar Jackson. He's been great against us before, you know, he hit this recent stride. You know, I think it was his second start. He kind of destroyed us. So against the second start against us. His first start overall was against us, bad game. After that, he's never had a bad game against us. But let's talk about putting on the blitz because if we're going to have a chance, it is going to be because Joe Burrow is also going to have a big game. And if Joe Burrow is going to have a big game, it means we're going to be able to counter your very creative and the sneaky, and may I say, perhaps not legal, blitzes. They come from all over the place. You don't ever give us a warning. You don't ever, you know, like ask for permission. Can I blitz? Can I come this way? Can I come that way? Can I send this guy? Can I send that? It's just very random. And we have a guy now, though. Last week, for the first time this season, we have a running back who can help. And he's actually, they call him Captain America. I don't know why. They call him Captain America. But John, what do you think? Can Chris Evans step up and help out Joe Burrow against this team?
Last week was important because that was the first time that Chris Evans was the true number two running back. And his primary responsibility, aside from being a receiver, was to be a pass protector. And he had a handful of reps against the Lions, and he really excelled. That's going to be important when you're going up against the Ravens defense, who may not be as talented in years past up front, but they still have guys who can get back there in the backfield. They have a defensive rookie of the year candidate in Odafe Owea. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. I practiced that really hard before the show
started. You got it.
Okay. All right. We got the approval from Jack. That's good. They still have Calais Campbell. They have Justin Houston still kicking in at like 40 years old. They have guys that can get back there, but it's all about that Wink Martindale defense that always disguises pressures and always delays blitzes. That's what the Bengals have plenty of tape on, but they still have never been able to successfully counter it from a game-to-game basis. So the offensive line has improved, but it's going to be up to Joe Mixon and Chris Evans as well. just staying in the backfield and helping out Joe Burrow as much as possible.
Listen, Jack, I know you got to go. So if you got to go, you go. Before you go, just give us
a I got five more minutes.
Five more minutes.
This is the blitz, right? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah. So last week, I mean, the guy in Joe's draft class, Justin Herbert, who everyone was saying is in the MVP conversation, there's five quarterbacks, Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, Kyler, and Justin Herbert. Those are the five that are going to carry the league, right? And no mention of Joe Burrow in that category. So don't bring that up with me. That is other people saying that. And Wink made him look clueless. It looked like he didn't either study film. It made it look like he was scared. He had zero clue where the blitz was coming from at any point. It was one of the most ridiculous performances after Carson Wentz had thrown for 400 yards on that same defense on that same field 6 days prior. So I assume now that Joe has seen the Ravens, I guess he's only played the Ravens once.
I would say this, Jack. That's actually, I wanted to bring that up. Herbert has been fantastic. He had his worst game ever against the Ravens last week.
Yeah.
That's actually, that gives me hope.
Yeah.
Because that is the one area where Joe Burrow is better than Herbert in terms of reading.
The one?
No. The one area, actually, the area is being a quarterback, just to clarify.
You just about got one, our, you guys are about going to show cancel right there,
man. The one area where Joe Burrow is better than being Justin Herbert is in terms of being a quarterback. That's what I wanted
to say.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Right. No, spinning it. We have
to. It was good save.
No, I want to say.
Listen, let me interject. May I?
Okay.
Let me interject here. The Ravens are perhaps Super Bowl bound. This is really a strong team, and they've had some flubby kind of moments, but really it's a strong team, and it's a team that is strong defensively. Let's not forget that. I think the Bengals, the only
Wait
chance they have
they're
to
like 20th in points. Look, they've given up 12 more points than the Bengals in just a few games. I mean,
I wouldn't go by that. Either. A game is made of, listen. A game is made of points, and it's made of wins and losses. Look at the wins and losses. Don't look at the points.
They have one
because defenses stretch. Yeah, and one less loss. Listen, defenses stretch and expand and contract based on what's happening in the game. Right? That's just how playing works. But here's the thing: the only way the Bengals win, the only way, is by being crazy rough and crazy on defense, forcing fumbles, getting the interceptions. That's the weakness of the Ravens, is that the Ravens can be sloppy.
That is Slapper. What I want. That's Slappy. What I want. Yeah. I want John to talk about
John.
That. And I don't know if Jack has to go, but...
Why are you worried about Jack going? Jack is here.
Hold on. This is like if the president...
Right now, there's all these bubbles going up on Snapchat and Instagram and everybody liking it.
If a president comes says he's going to read a kid's book, okay, and he said he can only stay till like 3:30, I'm sure that teacher is going to be, when it's 3:35, like, wow, I'm holding back the president from stuff that's way more important.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it's like when you have Jack on the show. You have a billion people. They're looking for guidance. They're looking for help. It is Jack who is giving people hope and inspiration in their lives. That's it.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you letting me run. I will leave with my score prediction. Okay.
Yes, that's what I want.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go Ravens 35, Bengals 31. Wow. AFC
that
North.
Very kind of you.
That's a cover right there.
Sweet.
I think the line is 7 points. I'm like, are we overreacting a little? Maybe. Look, I will say maybe Vegas doesn't think so highly of the Bengals. I'll leave you guys for that, for your own couples therapy or your trio therapy now. But I like the Bengals to cover. You guys could easily win this game.
Thank
you guys for having
Jack,
me.
That's wow, sweet of you to say. Sweet of you to say, Jack. Thank you. Thank you.
See you guys.
Man, this guy always leaves me on
Great
a cloud.
Job, Jack. Great
love
job.
You.
What a sweet guy. Wow. I almost don't want to win the game now because, you know, Jack.
Jack will be hurt. Yeah.
Love Jack.
Let's just lose the game for Jack.
I don't think people would be upset. Look, let us go to Battle of the Trenches, John.
Okay,
John. You want to talk about Reader Zeitler. I also want you to talk about Trey Hendrickson and his role in keeping Lamar
right
on his toes. I looked at the Ravens running back roster,
hopefully on the ground.
A graveyard of great running backs from the past. There's like five or six running backs where I think they were Pro Bowlers like in the past two decades. So I don't understand what's going on in the running game other than Lamar Jackson. So it is really the Lamar Jackson show. If we can keep him in check, I think we have a chance. Joe, take it. John, go.
Yeah, I do think it is entirely up to Lamar. I look at what they've done in the last few weeks now, and they're not running the ball very well. And I think that's a testament to, it's Lamar Jackson. He's always trying to run. No, he's trying to pass because that's how they're getting their success on offense. Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, a couple other receivers are producing really well with Lamar Jackson, and they're not really getting a lot of production from their running backs because they don't have any running backs left. But that doesn't mean I think their offensive line is bad. Specifically, from the center to the right side, you have Bradley Bozeman at center. You have Kevin Zeiler right guard. Bengals know a lot about Kevin Zeiler. He's going to be facing off against DJ Reader in this game, and I think this is going to be crucial in terms of just completely snuffing out that Ravens run game and making them try to pass the ball more on some of these early downs. So we have Reader, who's having a phenomenal year as one of the Bengals' defensive tackles, not only just as a run defender, which is what he was brought in to be, but as a pass rusher too. Like, it's not always just Larry Ogunjobi getting back there in penetration. It's actually been more a Reader in some of the situations, and he's being left out there in some of these passing situations because of that production as well. So having him go up against a former Bengal and Kevin Zeiler, this is the fourth or so time that Zeiler has played since he left Cincinnati a couple years ago. I know he played against them with the Browns or so, but it's been a while since these two, him and Cincinnati rematched against each other. So, like, they know all about Zeiler, and I think Reader is a great matchup for him in both phases of the game. But also, Dre Hendrickson is going up against Alejandro Villanueva at left tackle for the Ravens. He's had to play left tackle ever since Ronnie Stanley injured his ankle early in the season, and Hendrickson continues to be the guy Amazing. That he was last year, who no one expected better. Him to be. Yeah, he's better than he was last year. No one expected him to be better.
34 than the Saints. Pressures, John. 34
I think,
pressures.
I think they just expected him to at most be the same, which was still kind of raising expectations a bit based off of what the situation was in New Orleans. But he is playing out of his mind, and there's still room for improvement. But he's got another Absolutely. Very favorable matchup against Alejandro Villanueva. Getting to Lamar Jackson's one thing. Finishing against Lamar Jackson is another thing entirely. But, so that will be up to Trey Hendrickson.
Well, let's be honest, John. I mean, our defensive line can get a push. They're very talented. But we need to have the guys, the spies. We need to – and I think – correct me if I'm wrong, but these linebackers we drafted, who I love, Logan Wilson, you know, Akeem Davis-Gaither, Jermaine Pratt, you know, all of these, Marcus Bailey, all these guys – they are, you know, athletic guys. They can cover. I think a big part of it was because we had no chance against the Ravens.
That's exactly what it is. Like, yeah. They play
that's what I said at the beginning of the show.
They play a completely different defense when they go up against Lamar Jackson. You will see a lot more Akeem Davis-Gaither, just like you saw a lot more of him last year against the Ravens. Whenever the Ravens are in their traditional 12 personnel sets where they have two tight ends on the field and they have Lamar in the pistol and they're ready for their read option, they're ready for that extension of their passing and running game, they're ready to get out on the edge and force Lamar back to the middle of the field, because once he gets outside of the tackles and he gets into the open field, that is where he kills teams. But the Bengals have built a scheme to try to counter against them, and it's been very hot and very cold at sometimes. Like, it worked last year.
Yeah.
No, it worked last year when they were at Baltimore, but the offense was so terrible that the game got away from them.
Exactly.
They limited Lamar Jackson to like 3 rushing yards that game, and the scheme worked despite the lack of personnel. But, you know, I think Ravens, and like, they're even better passing the football now, so I don't even know how much that is going to work.
John, but we are better at covering the passes. Our secondary, look, our safeties are fantastic. They were good last year. But I think Chidobe Awuzie is better than William Jackson was. At least he wants to play for us more than he did. You know, I think Mike Hilton gives us an edge. I think he's the kind of guy that will come big in these kind of games. And Eli Apple, man, Eli Apple's been not bad, you know?
Not bad. But it is kind of odd, I think. Yeah. I think it is kind of odd that we keep talking about this game as if Lamar Jackson is just going to carry the whole day and all of that stuff. I think our defense is strong and they're going to do fine against Lamar. Lamar's weakness is our strength, and the Ravens' offensive weaknesses are our strengths. we don't have to worry about our problems at the secondary as much because he's not, you know, they're not as much of a passing thing. But no, the question is, real question, is which Bengals offense are we going to see against this Ravens defense? That's the question. And it's not a question that we know the answer to. We don't know because we've seen, like, we've seen them look great, but we've seen them look not so great. Sometimes it takes them a whole half of a game to get the momentum going on the offense. You can't take a whole half. You got to get the points early. You got to get going early.
Well, let this go.
You got to get the running game early. Their defense is what I'm
saying. Say it with your chest, Daddy. Say it with your chest.
Predictions.
There we go.
So, guys, Jack said, 35-31. That's a very reasonable guess, right? John, tell me why it's wrong.
35 points is pretty average work for the Ravens against the Bengals in recent years. I think they've outscored them by 95 points in the last three times that they've played, but that is primarily because Bengals' defense was terrible and they were just completely outclassed compared to what the Ravens can do. Hoji said it best. I think now the playing field is a lot more even than it has been in years past, but I still think that points are going to be scored in this game and both teams are going to have at least like 25 or 27 in this one. So if the Bengals have any chance of winning, it's going to come down to can their offensive line and can their preparation prepare them to limit Baltimore's pressure schemes to the best of their abilities. Yeah. I think they have the talent at receiver to score against their secondary, playing without a couple of its starters. I think Joe Burrow is playing really well right now, and it's just up to him to recognize some of these things pre-snap and not make some of the turnover-worthy throws that he's thrown in the last couple of weeks. So if the Bengals want to win this game, it's going to be on the hands of Joe Burrow and just him taking advantage of a weak secondary and him not being hit as much as he has been in years past against this team.
So what is going to happen?
Despite all that, I think the Ravens still win. I need to see it to believe it. I need to see this team actually beat this team on the road. The high class of the AFC North. I need to see them actually do it before I think they're going to do it. So I think the Ravens win like 31-27.
Okay. Hoji.
So glad you asked. So are you asking my brain or are you asking my heart?
I am asking. We don't use our brains on the show. That's what John is for.
So okay, because my brain says Ravens win by 3 points, 27-24. But my heart is disagreeing vehemently. Okay. My heart is saying that the Bengals win 32-27. Yes. And I just have one thing I want to say. I just have one thing I want to say to everyone. Can we make a pact right here on the three of us and anybody watching? If the Bengals win this one, they are the best team in their division and one of the best in the NFL. And will the mass sports media stop the anti-Bengalism and stop the hate on our team and finally recognize that? Because this team has looked awesome this year. Zach Taylor's coaching, honestly, I'm impressed. Why doesn't he get the credit for the wins? It's almost like when the Bengals win, it's like, oh, great job, Joe Burrow.
Yes.
Well, yeah, Joe Burrow's great, but Zach Taylor is doing an amazing job with this group of young men.
Well, he's doing an amazing job of making sure that Joe Burrow.
It's not like, no, he's not just not getting in the way, Daddy.
Okay.
The culture, the winning culture of the team, that's all on Zach.
Yeah, no, I'm coming around on Zach Taylor.
And the play calling, that fourth, we didn't talk about the last game, but that fourth down touchdown with the block and the Jamar, you got to give Zach, it was aggressive, it was beautiful play calling.
Yeah,
everybody said, Zach can't do play calling. That was a good play calling.
I think he's comparable to a Mike McCarthy, a guy who...
He is the right fit. You know, back when Tom Brady was on the Patriots, everyone thought Belichick was a genius. But what we realized is that it was the mixture of Tom Brady and Belichick together. It was peanut butter and jelly. Okay? And I think Zach Taylor is the peanut butter and Joe Burrow is the jelly. And that's what I think.
Okay.
And I think the media has got to start. If we win this one, this has to be so big. We have to run down the streets naked. Because that's what you do.
Well, speaking about...
I mean, that's what I do every day, but that's what you do, yeah.
Right. And speaking about running down the street naked, Courtney, promotion.
Oh, yeah.
So this show is the equivalent...
Did you predict, Daniel?
No, I don't want to go against what Jack said, and I don't want to pick the Bengals losing. So I'm going to abstain from predicting this week. Yeah.
Promotion.
This show, okay, a lot of people look at it and they are like, it has nothing going for it. It is, you know, there are these hairy people with, you know, very annoying voices and nothing to add to the conversation.
And plus 4G.
Yeah. And then, but just like Hoji was saying, naked people running down the street, you have to turn your eyes away from it and you are disgusted by it. You also have to tolerate it. And that is what this whole country is about. And that is why I'm asking you to tolerate us by supporting us financially, by going to patreon.com/DHSports and subscribing, leaving a 5-star review. Because
if it hurts your ears, when I yell, you should know I'm using the cheap mic.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's what I always say. It's like, look, if you are annoyed by someone's voice, well, just imagine them, you know, on a really bad microphone.
Yeah, John, could you say "babadi boo badi boo" on your mic so they can see how beautiful it is?
Babadi boo badi boo.
Wow.
Oh my gosh! Wow. Five women listening just fainted. He's the Tony Bennett of this show.
He is.
Don Kashin, come on, John. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is all we have for the show. But so make sure you go follow Jack on Snapback Sports, and you subscribe to our show, and please subscribe to the YouTube show. Leave a review
or thumbs up it.
Yeah. For John Sheeran and Dr. Hoji the Electric Esmoji, I'm Daddy MacDoug. We will see you next time. So long. SVT buys.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.